do appreciate the good singing and the blessings of the Lord that He's blessed us with today. Got up to new mercy and new grace.
Amen.
And He is faithful. He is kind.
Yes, He is.
He is true. And I appreciate Amen. You being here this morning. Appreciate the good number that has come out to the Lord's house today. And, we're thankful to be here. Appreciate traveling mercy and traveling grace and allowing us to be in the house of the Lord. And Brother Joe has assigned us this theme of reaching forth. The idea of stretching and reaching for the things of God.
Oh, yeah.
And, the Lord has laid this thought on my heart over in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 15. 2 Samuel, chapter number 15. And we'll read a few verses and I'll try to give you what the Lord has given to us. It'll be a help and a blessing to you this morning. We'd like to, as well, I was telling Brother Dave just a moment ago, we begin revival in the morning at Gum Springs Baptist Church in Asheville. And Dr. Mike Bagwell, he's coming and going to be with us through Wednesday. We would love to have you. I know that's a hike, nearly an hour and a half, 2 hour drive probably from here. But I do believe it'd be worth your time coming to hear the man of God. But Brother Bagwell is going to be with us in the morning, and we're excited about that. And if you can't come, please pray for our meeting and ask the Lord to help us and pray His will to be done. 2 Samuel 15. You found that? Let's stand and we'll rest ourselves just a moment and try to be as brief as the Lord will allow us to be this morning and be a help to you today. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Let's look down verse number 23. In this context of this chapter, Absalom has rebelled against David his father. Absalom is coming to try to take over the throne. He wants to be king, and he wants to sit on the throne of his father David. And we'll start in the middle of verse number 23, in the middle of the context of these verses. The Bible said, "And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark, and Abithar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, Carry back the ark of God into the city. I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord. He will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he say thus, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. And the king said also unto Zadok the priest, Art thou a seer? Return to the city in peace, and to your two sons with you, Amaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abithar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. Zadok, therefore, and Abithar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. Verse number 30. The Bible said, And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went, and he had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and every man, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. Let's pray this morning once again. Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for this opportunity. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd settle our hearts and settle our thoughts in this morning around the precious Word of God. I ask you to help us as only you can, Lord. You know the needs of lives in this congregation. You know what I need this morning, Lord. And I pray and I ask you to work and to move in a mighty and in a special way here in this service. And thank you for Brother Joe. Thank you for Halfway Baptist Church. We pray your blessings to be upon them. Thank you for this meeting, Lord. And, Lord, for the strength that I have received here, I thank you for it, Lord. And I pray you bless Brother Chris and Brother David as they'll stand, God, to anoint them and use them as only you can. We love you and we ask all these favors and these blessings in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we've read in these verses, David is having to flee from his son Absalom. Absalom wants to take over the kingdom there of Israel. He wants to be the king. And he knows the only way that he is going to get that position is if his father David is dead. He is seeking to take and to kill his own father. I, being a father myself, and no doubt many of you, I cannot imagine what David is going through in this situation, knowing that one of his own sons wants to take his life, is out to kill him, is out to destroy him and strip him of everything that he has. And David, in a very wise move, he chooses to flee from Jerusalem rather than to stay, cause a bloodbath and many lives be lost. He chooses to leave all the comforts of the palace behind there at Jerusalem and go and flee over the brook Kidron toward the wilderness area. And in these days, he's going to wander. He's going to have to sleep on the ground and wherever he can find shelter. It's going to be difficult in the life of David. I would call your attention this morning to verses number 25. David tells the servant, the priest, Zadok there, to carry back the ark of God into the city. He said, if I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again. Show me both it and his habitation. David says, if all goes well, God's going to bring me back to Jerusalem. I will see the Ark of the Covenant again. I'll not be separated from it for long. Then he says in verse number 26, but if he say this, I have no delight in thee. Behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. David says, it might be that I do not get to come back to Jerusalem to see the ark. But he says, either way, it's all right. Either way, if I get back to Jerusalem and the Lord favors me, thank God. But if not, still going to be okay. Still going to be all right. David says there in the verse, here I am. This is all that I can do. David said, hey, I was a nobody when God found me. I'll be a nobody when God's through with me. Either way, I am the Lord's. He is in control of what is taking place. Aren't you glad in these days we're living, we have one that really is in control, really is directing, leading, and guiding in these days. David is to the point where he thinks what's going through his mind, I don't know if God's through with me or not. It could be that this is all that God has for me to do. And David, he accepts that fact. Whether I go, whether I get to see the ark again or not, it's all up to the Lord. And as you come into these verses, you feel sorry for David. I mean, he is
desperate. He is without hope and without comfort. And it's like you want to go to him, and we have the benefit of reading further. We have the understanding of what is coming. But David thinks that God is basically through with him. I want to go to him and wrap my arm around him and say, David, it's not over. God's still in control. David, the Lord has more songs for you to sing. The Lord has more songs for you to pin down. God's not through with you, David. Stay true and stay faithful unto God. I'm glad there ought to be a word of encouragement in our heart in these days. God's not through with us. God's still in control. God is still working as He has in days gone by. He is not limited nor hindered in any way. I just want to encourage you this morning, church. God is not through with you. He's not through. Reckon what David is thinking in his mind. Well, God's just through with me. I believe he's probably thinking about some of the abominations that he has done. No doubt that it comes to his mind. I'm going through this. This is happening because of what I have done in the past. Because of my past sins. You know the story, 2 Samuel 11 and 12, the adultery of Bathsheba, the murder of her husband Uriah. And David is thinking, well, this is how God is going to finish me off. This is how my story will end. This is how God's final judgment and God's final wrath comes down upon me. Because of the sin that I have committed. David knows exactly why he is where he is. God had promised him that the sword would not depart from his house. Good news, David. Good news. That man of God, Nathan, came in chapter 12 of Samuel, 2 Samuel, and told him, God's put away your sin, David. David, God has heard your prayer. God has seen the sincerity of your heart. He's forgiven you. He wrote Psalm 51 on that account. And now, David, you'll still have to pay the price for your sin. But thank God that sin's not on you anymore. Your sin has been forgiven. Aren't you glad we're serving a long-suffering, forgiving God? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Didn't say we were faithful. No. But He did say He is faithful. God's going to do right by us when we get forgiveness and our sins covered under the blood. Those past abominations, they're running. This is why I'm here. This is what is going to finish me off. I deserve it. You ever been there? You ever been there? As the devil went back and brought up in your mind, you remember, you can't be saved. There's no way you can be saved because of what you're thinking. You can't do anything for God. I just want to remind you, God's not through with you. Keep reaching forth. God's not through with you because of past abominations. No doubt, could David be thinking that God was through with him because of all of the adversities that he was going through? Look, just look at what is happening in David's life. His own son is out to kill him, to overthrow him. Many of his faithful servants have fell in line with Absalom. there against David. As you read, Father, his best friend and counselor, Ahithophel, has aligned himself with Absalom. Just look what he's going through there. Verse number 30, he's barefoot. He doesn't have, he had to flee the palace of fast. He wasn't even able to put shoes on. He's having to flee for his life. He's weeping. He has his head covered. He doesn't even have a beast to ride on, according to chapter number 16. He's without the necessities of life. Has no food, has nothing to drink. And David says, God just must be through with me. Look at all that's happening. God is done. God is through with me. I want to tell you, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Just because you're having a hard day, just because difficulties are coming your way, does not mean that God has forsaken or forgotten or is through with you. Every one of us in 2024 are facing adversities on every side. The pressure just seemingly keeps building up, getting greater and greater in our lives. But God's not through with you. Just because of the adversities, just because of the trials, the difficulties that you're facing, don't believe that lie of the devil. Boy, if God was on your side, He'd get you out of this. He'd deliver you. He'd make a way for you. His adversities, His abominations are in His mind. Could it be that David thought God was through with him because of his age? David's not a young man anymore. Most commentators, as you study the life of David at this stage in his life, he's in his 60s, early to mid-60s. The Bible tells us that he dies at 70 years of age. And could he be thinking in his mind, Lord, I know you used me when I was a boy. I know you used me when I was a giant killer. But Lord, I can't do that anymore. I can't sling them stones like I used to. I'm not as fast as I used to be. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. My mind, it just doesn't work as it used to. God, are you just going to put me on the shelf because of my age? Are you through with me, Lord? I'm glad age does not disqualify in the eyes of the Lord. You listen, you dear silver-haired saints, you great, and I'm among that crowd. I'm one of those fastly becoming in that category. Just because you've reached your mature years, that doesn't mean God's through with you. Just because you're moving a little slower than what you used to move, that doesn't mean that the Lord's through with you. And God still has a work to do. It might be around the house of God. You're seeing someone younger come in and step up and doing what you yourself used to be. And it creates a conflict on the inside. It makes you leery of them. And it makes you think you're insuperior unto them. They are better than you, friend. I want to tell you this, friend. God still has a plan. God still has a purpose. God still has a path for you to follow, regardless of your age, regardless of what may be going on in your life. God does not disqualify you when you reach a certain age. You may not be able to be a Moses, but you can be an Aaron and you can be a Hur. You can get under the arms of the man of God. You can be a prayer warrior. You can be one that will hold the church up. You can take some of these youngins around the house of God and mentor them. Show them how. Oh, God, how we need men to show us how to worship, how to pray, how to be obedient, how to serve, how to live. God's not through with you just because of your age.
Can you see all these thoughts running through David's mind? God, will you ever use me again? He's as though it's over and it's done in these verses. But just notice just a few more thoughts and we'll get out of the way. What's God not through doing in the life of David? Well, if you notice in verse number 30, we mentioned it before. And David, he's going up by the Mount of Olives. He's weeping. The Bible says that his head is covered with his bare foot. That's not a symbol of pride. That's not a symbol of, hey, if someone said, hey, look at me. Yeah. He's got his head covered and he's weeping and he's got his head down. It's a symbol of mourning. He's brokenhearted over what the Lord is doing. God's not through. Child of God, God's not through lifting up your head. His head's low.
Oh yeah.
His head is down low. But flip over with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 3. The third chapter of the book of Psalms. And notice, it's interesting, the title of this psalm. It is a psalm of David, the Bible says. Yeah. When he fled from Absalom, his son. Absalom is pursuing. And somewhere along the way, David takes time. Spends time with the Lord. And he pins down these words. He said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. Lord, you're the only one that can lift my head. It's an interesting picture. It's a picture of a child.
Yeah.
Lifting his head. God's not through letting David be a help, letting David see and partake in the glory of God. He still will let him do some things. Even though he's aged, even though there's abomination, even though there's adversities against him, God is still going to let David do some things for him. Look with it. Go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. You probably know this better than I do. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. David's desire was to build the house of God. To build God a temple. But the Lord said, "No, David, you're a man of war. You've shed blood. I'm not going to let you do it. But I'm going to let your son." Notice what David does. Verses 2 and 3, the Bible says he set masons to hew and wrought stones to build the house of God. David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance for the weight. Also cedar trees in abundance, and cedar wood. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and glory throughout all the countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. David wanted to build the house of God. He wanted to build God's dwelling place. But God said no. And David didn't say, "Well, fine, I'm just going to quit." He didn't get jealous. He didn't get envious of his son. Here's what he did. He said, "I'm going to help my son. I'm going to gather the materials that he needs. I'm going to lay out the blueprints. I'm going to lay out the plans. So all that he has to do is just follow step by step. I'm going to make sure everything is taken care of." David did not sabotage Solomon's life, Solomon's ministry. No, he tried to help him. We have a responsibility to help another generation. There are those coming up behind us. They need those materials that we can gather. So that I thank God for some men that have blazed the trail, Brother Joe. Men that have hewed out a path. Men that have showed us how things ought to be done. What old time salvation really is all about. And David, he's guiding his son Solomon and helping him along the way. David, listen, David didn't get to do what he wanted to do. But the Lord still used him. You may not get to do what you want to do, but the Lord will use you. The Lord will work through you. I see no jealousy. I see no envy in the life of David. God's not through letting David get in on the glorious things of God. God's not through lifting up David's head. God's not through, I'll close with this, God's not through listening to his hymns. God is still listening to David. God is still hearing his voice. God still wants to hear from you. The Bible says, he inhabits the place
God, these people. Look over. Oh, look over back to chapter 22 of 2 Samuel. Then hold your place in 22 and then flip over to the Psalms 18. If you look at 2 Samuel 22 and Psalms 18, they are basically identical. They're identical. And I'd call your attention to the heading once again of Psalms 18. It's directed to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I'm not going to read it, but the context of Psalms 18 says that it is sung when God delivered David from the hand of Saul and all of his enemies. We look chapter number 22 of 2 Samuel. It comes not before he thought God was through with him, but it comes after when he thought God was through with him. David, God still has a song for you to sing. He still has a pen for you to pick up and pen down words of praise, words of honor, words of glory. He says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I'll trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. It sounds like David has realized and David has got it in his heart. God's not through with him. Is still worthy to be praised. Preacher, God doesn't want to hear from you. Preacher, God is not interested in my life. And I just want to tell you that there can nothing be further from the truth. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 13, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. To his name. Preacher, will I ever testify to you? Preacher, will I ever be able to sing to you? Preacher, will I ever be able to stand and feel the touch of God in my life again? Yes. Amen. Yes. God's not through with you. Yeah. How do you know, preacher? How can you be so sure? You're still here. I challenge you. Go from cover to cover. Find me one where he ever forsook. Find me one where he ever said, I'm done with you. I'm through with you. I don't want anything else to do with you. I've done enough. I've done enough this week. For God to say to me, I'm through with you. But Brother Gary's never told me that. He's never said, I'm done with you, I'm through with you. But he stands lovingly, wanting to help us. He stands with outstretched arms, willing to use us if we'll submit and surrender. Father, thank you for liberty. Thank you for freedom.